Happy Sabbath. Oh, come on, guys. This is my last Sabbath for a long time here, so happy Sabbath. Thank you. Okay. I am praying today. Hopefully this goes well. I know it will go well because I prayed for it, and a lot of people have, so thank you for praying. Sorry, I'm trying to find my comfort right here. Okay, so I'm glad that everybody here is here today. I gave my mom that look because I told her not to record, but she's recording, so. Okay, so I'm glad everybody's here today because I prayed specifically for every one of you to be here for a reason. And just know that you're not here for an accidental way. That does not make sense, but you get what I mean. Let's pray one more time, if you don't mind. Father in heaven, Lord, you know that I will stumble across words. I will make up words that are not in the dictionary. I will make jokes that nobody will laugh at, Father. But I just ask that none of that will take away from your message that you're about to give right now. I ask that you will please open up our hearts, Father. Open up my heart. And just help us leave everything behind. Our stresses, our worries, our problems, lay them down at the cross. And Father, you know why everybody is here, why each and every person is here. And you know their experiences. You know our deepest secrets, our sins, our dirtiness, Father. But despite that, you still love us. And that's why you brought us here, Father. So I ask that you will just give me the right words to say. Use this broken vessel to the best of your ability, which is endless. So I'm hoping this will be the right message. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Hold on, I'm going to get water. Okay, so two things I would like to ask you to do for me while I preach up here. One is to pray for me constantly. Like I mentioned in the prayer, I make up a lot of words sometimes, especially when I'm nervous. I don't know if I'm nervous speaking in front of you guys, but nervous that I'll forget what I have to say. And point number two is that you just have self-awareness. If you feel that your heart is hardening against yourself, like you know when your heart is hardening, just watch yourself. There are some things that may be offensive, hopefully not, but if it is, that means it's working. And you just take that and change. You don't set up a wall barrier. So I hope that you stay self-aware throughout this message. Okay. So, as the PowerPoint says, my sermon topic today is called Seeing the World Through God's Eyes, subtitle. I've never had to use that, so I'm really excited. Carry your own weather. Vong and I have this thing in common. We have a lot of things in common, but one of the things we have in common is we reflect the physical weather. I'll explain. So whenever it's sunny and like really, really like this right now, we're good. We're walking on sunshine. Right? But whenever there's like a hint of gloomy weather, we're just, our day just goes downhill. It's not like usually when we say, oh, we reflect the weather, that's not some sort of ability. I would say it's a disability because our moods just go up and down with the weather. That's why I'm glad we're in Southern California. There's always sunshine. Granted, a lot of people aren't like this. You guys have the ability to not reflect the physical weather. But many of us do reflect social weather. Peter was one of these people. When he was with Jesus and he was surrounded by other disciples, he said, Jesus, I would not ever deny you. I would rather die than deny you. Right? But right when the rubber hit the road, right when it really, really mattered, he denied Jesus. No, the door just opened. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. And, another point. See, pray for me. Notice that you're hardening your heart. And please, like, when you notice you're being distracted, just focus. Focus. Because I know we get distracted a lot. Another comment I want to make. Thank you so much for singing that last song because I know it was really high, you guys. So thank you. So going back to this. Peter... Peter was with his disciples. He was like, yeah, Jesus, I would never deny you. No, I would rather die than deny you. But right when the rubber hit the road, right when he was with that campfire, and all these people were like, whoa, Peter, were you with Jesus? Hey, aren't you one of his followers? Right when the social weather was, we don't like Jesus, Jesus is a horrible person, Peter reflects the social weather. He says, no, I don't know Jesus. What are you talking about? And he starts, I would like to think, cussing people out. He would like to, like what we do. Well, he does. I don't know if they cuss back. Well, he just said very foul language. And he reflected not what Christianity would be. I've heard it put somewhere in a sermon that there are two types of people in this world. You're either a thermostat or you're a thermometer. You're a thermometer if you reflect the temperature of those around you. And you're a thermostat if you set the temperature for people around you. What do you think, can you give a guess, what God would like us to be? I need participation. Thermostats, exactly. Hopefully there was no thermometers out there. Thermostats, right? God calls us to be thermostats. We set the temperature for people around us. Whether it's we walk into a room, a family room, our own home with three people, we set that temperature. Walk into an auditorium full of 400 students, we set that temperature because God has called us to do that. But as Christians, we become thermometers so many times. And even if you deny it, do you know why I know that we're thermometers? Because don't raise your hands, but when was the last time somebody came up to you and said, can I come to your church? Do you mind if this week I come to your church? Can you invite me to your church? Notice I didn't ask, hey, when was the last time you invited someone to church? Don't get me wrong, like Pastor Vin says, bring a friend every week, right? But when was the last time somebody actually came up to you, your coworkers, your classmates, your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, actually came up to you and said, can I come to church with you? Not often, right? And I know it seems idealistic. Maybe for some of us pessimistic people, it seems unrealistic. But if we are Christians like we say we are, and if we try to emulate Jesus like we say we try to, Jesus, yes, he did invite people to church, so to speak, but there were times where the Bible says that the multitudes came to him. They were drawn to him, right? And do you know why they were drawn to him? Not because of, you know, his money or anything. He didn't have money. It was because he was a thermostat. I'm gonna switch a lot from thermometer to thermostat, so please pay attention and like correct me. So he was a thermostat for people around him. He set that temperature. Everywhere he went, he was a thermostat. He didn't reflect the temperature, but he changed it. If we were thermostats in our workplaces, if we set the temperature for our coworkers, rather than being reflexive, we wouldn't be impatient whenever our coworkers were impatient. We wouldn't argue back with our parents every time they argued with us because we are thermostats. We set the temperature, we don't reflect it. But think about it. If you really did practice these things, if you say you are a thermostat, but you really are a thermometer, where is that coworker? Why aren't they sitting next to you right now? Watch the way that you're acting around people, not just Christians in here, but out there when it really, really counts. If we're completely honest with ourselves, how many of us act differently than when we are in church and when we're outside? Don't raise your hand. I don't think anyone would. But think about it. We're in Bible study. We say the most brilliant things, and we're like, we're going to get them. I'm going to get amens for this, right? But it's so easy to be holy in a room full of holy people. But the rubber meets the road when we're in a room full of non-holy people, when we're in a room full of people who don't think the same way as we do. I mean, going back to the Bible study, how many of us have sat in Bible study and just say things like, yes, I believe in God, he will pull through. Jesus is my savior, right? And then we get amens left and right, and we're like, yeah, ego boost right there, right? But will you really say it with as much conviction if you were outside? Most of us wouldn't because we're thermometers. We reflect the world around us. If the opinion goes one way, we go that way. If people like us for not speaking up, we won't speak up because we like it when people like us. It's just, I would like to think, part of human nature, not a good part of human nature. So how many of us can actually say that the way we hang out with our coworkers, the way we hang out with our friends, people can actually tell a difference between us and the world? If you listen to the same music as somebody, are you a thermometer or a thermostat? If you laugh at the same dirty jokes as somebody, I know high school students, we make crude jokes sometimes, and we laugh the same dirty jokes, are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Always examine yourself. So it's kind of, like I mentioned, it's kind of easy to be holy in a crowd full of other holy people. But when we're outside of this zone, outside of this bubble that we're in, that's what really counts. When you take up and you have integrity, that's why one of my biggest values is integrity. No matter, you know, what people think, no matter, you know, if people make fun of you, you stay true to your values. You know, you're not going to be a thermostat and just, oh, people don't like Jesus here? Okay, guess I won't like Jesus here too. Oh, so people like Jesus here? I'm going to bust out some Bible verses, right? It's not for self-ego boost. Just know, on a side note, I'm going off on a tangent here for a little bit. Your knowledge of the Bible should not be an ego booster. You should not think that, yes, I know all these Bible verses. Yes, I've been an Adventist for 7 years. I'm cool, right? You shouldn't think that. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else. So don't Bible slap. I just made that term up. I'd like to jump to another topic, falling under the same sort of canopy of seeing the world through other people's eyes and kind of reflecting this social weather. Something I've had to deal with not so long ago. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. John is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Everybody get that? Okay. So, can I get the next slide, please? To make it more relatable, why can't we switch it up? What if we were the rulers? What if it said many Christians believed in him, but because of the social weather, they did not confess him? Lest they should be out of the cool friend zone, lest they should be labeled as the overly religious person, lest they should be thought of as the closed-minded, intolerant one, lest they should be labeled as different. Because be honest, how many of us like to be different? We like to belong. But let me tell you, I've wanted to belong so much in high school, and I've discovered something. Belonging is kind of overrated, you guys. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And just think about it. Think of some of the times you didn't confess him because you didn't want to be out of the cool friend zone. Why? You didn't want to be labeled as different. For a lot of my life in high school, I loved the praise of men. And to be honest, this is something I don't want to share because, oh, I'm scared of judgment and all that. But really, I hope this helps somebody somewhere. So I love the praise of men, and I ran towards clothes a lot. So, you know, that feeling you get when somebody's like, nice dress or nice shoes. I loved that feeling a lot. And there's nothing wrong with dressing nice. For by all means, dress nice. Like, Christians are called to dress in a fashionable way, I would like to think. But when clothes made me feel fulfilled, because depending on what I wore that day and depending on how many compliments I got, I felt good about myself. And trust me, you don't want to run towards material things to make you feel good about yourself. Clothes became my idol. It started with clothes, yes, but it started escalating to other things. And now, more and more, I feel myself wanting the praise of man more than the praise of God, right? And my experience might not be like a lot of your guys's. Maybe you didn't run towards clothes. Let me pick on the parents for a little bit. I would like to think we're good Adventist parents, but in the Asian culture, many of us get chitty-chatty, right? Many parents get chitty-chatty. They go, ooh, did you hear this so-and-so's son is going to become a doctor at UCLA? And why can't you be like that? Let me just tell you, parents, it really is not nice when you compare your kids with other kids. Be happy with what God has blessed you with. Amen? Because it really hurts when people compare other people to other people. But going back to the parents. So I would like to share a story. Don't treat your kids, your students, I mean not your students, your children, as they are your students too. Your children as LV belts. Let me explain. So last two weeks ago, I had the honor, but at that time I didn't think it was an honor, to take care of my nieces and nephews who came over from Chicago, right? And my cousins came over from San Jose too. So one of my cousins came over from San Jose and he says, "Christy, is Brooklyn wearing an LV belt?" And immediately, we notice that she notices that we notice that she's wearing an LV belt. So, bless her little heart, she's 7 years old. She says, "Do you like my LV belt?" And then 5 minutes later, "Christy, do you like my LV belt?" And for the fifth time within the hour, "Did you see my LV belt?" And she's just showing it off unashamedly. And we think, you know, ugh, she's 7 years old. We don't do that. But parents, you do sometimes. Do you want to see my kid's Berkeley application acceptance letter? Do you want to see her degree, right? And we seek the approval and the praise, the empty praise of men to make ourselves feel good. But you know what? Yes, support them to go to all these prestigious colleges, push them to get those high GPAs, but not for the sake of yourself or even for your kid. Tell them to do it to be a good witness for other people, because that's what Christians are called to do. We are called to excel in everything from school to work to relationships with other people, how we interact with other people. Not because we have the power to do it, not because we're better, but because we know of someone who has the power to help us. The next time your kid gets straight A's, the next time they, you know, get the honor roll, they make the honor roll list, don't brag to your brothers and sisters about how smart your kid is. Be humble. And instead, brag about how God has pulled through. And while we're on this topic, and I'm hoping I have a little bit more time, I'd like to share a little testimony with you. So in high school, you're pressured a lot to take SAT classes, right? Junior year hits, and you're taking all those SAT classes. Your parents are rushing you, hurling you, take those SAT classes, because SAT scores equal good college acceptance, right? So bless my mom, she you know, wants the best for me. She tells me to take an SAT class. And because of the scheduling, I can't do it because it's on the Sabbath. So I tell her, "I don't want to do it, Mom." And she thinks I'm out of my mind, because who doesn't take SAT classes? If you don't take SAT classes, your life will be ruined because you won't go to a good college. But I prayed about it a lot, and, you know, I'm going to respect the Sabbath for God. And not to toot my horn, not to say anything, my SAT scores, honestly, I'm not going to say it because it's not that good, but I made it into UC Berkeley, the number one public university in the world right now. Hopefully, the country, not the world, I don't know. But it's pretty high prestige. Not to brag about myself. Friends, I do not deserve to be at UC Berkeley, but through God, because he has been faithful. Because I was not a thermostat at that, I was not a thermometer at that point. I got into UC Berkeley, and praise God, my mom is here today, because she promised me that she would go if I got into, like, I hoped that my faithfulness affected her some way. So going back to that, many of us, it's not just parents. What about the jobs that we work at? What about the cars that we drive? What about our boyfriends, you know, and our girlfriends? It's like we use that to have the empty praise of man so that we can feel good about ourselves. But God calls us not to be those things. He wants us to look towards the praise of God instead. In closing, one of John's favorite stories in the Bible is found in 2 Kings 6:8. We don't have to read the whole account, even though it's a really cool story, so you guys should read it after. But let's cut to the part where the Syrians have surrounded the city that Elisha was staying in. Elisha is a prophet of the Old Testament. So the Syrians have surrounded this entire city, and His servant comes up running, I would like to imagine, and was like, Elisha, what are we going to do? We're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die, because the Syrians have come, and there's a whole, the Bible says that there was a great army, which I would like to think if the Bible says it's a great army, it's a very big army. So he says, the servant comes up and says, alas, my master. Yeah, he says alas, I remember. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? He says something like that. We're going to die, right? And Elisha, I would also like to imagine, was very calm and said, fear not. And he says this really interesting prayer. He says, God, Lord, please open up his eyes. Notice that he may see. Notice that Elisha didn't pray, God, please get rid of these Syrians. He didn't pray to change the situation, but he prayed so that his servant's eyes could be opened and that he could see the reality of things, which the servant's eyes were opened immediately, and afterwards he saw the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire. And then he didn't feel as scared anymore. He probably, I would like to imagine, yeah, I knew you were going to do that. I knew God was going to pull through, right? But many of us are like this servant. We don't see past what our eyes see. We don't take on God's eyes. So my prayer for us today is the same that Elisha prayed. Open up our eyes so that we may see. So the servant is not scared anymore. Now his perspective has changed. His views have shifted. We need to shift our views today. We need to exchange this broken, flawed view of reality, because the more we focus on others, the more we focus on being thermometers, the more reflective we are of the social weather. So I have an appeal, and I'm working on being honest a lot lately, so I'm going to be honest. Every time somebody comes up here and they say, I have an appeal, I go, oh, another appeal. I used to hate it when people come up and say, I have an appeal, because I'd be like, great, now I have to stand up. And if I stand up, people are going to think so-and-so. But if I don't stand up, people are going to think so-and-so. But for the sake of this message, for the sake of you making a statement, I'm not going to be a thermometer anymore. I'm going to be a thermostat. I'm going to set the weather. I'm going to carry my own weather. Please stand if this applies to you. And before you stand, just this is what I usually do. Is a person to my left standing? Is a person to my right standing? What are they thinking in the back? But please, even if it means closing your eyes and standing up, if you have been convicted, and it, like Jessica mentioned, it won't hurt our feelings if you don't stand up for this appeal. But if you know that God has convicted your heart to become a thermostat rather than a thermometer, then stand. Not because somebody else is standing, not because that cute boy or girl next to you is not standing. Stand because you are a thermostat. You are a thermostat. And you are going to stand also because you've ran after the praises of man. I mean, how many of us don't like to be praised? How many of us run towards clothes, run towards fashion, run towards the approval of man because we like that? In high school, that's all I wanted. I wanted people to like me, but you know what? Like I mentioned, being liked is kind of overrated sometimes. You'd rather have the praise of God than the praise of man. And while we're on the topic, I know some of us are going off to college, and we're going to be tempted a lot. We're going to be tempted with relationships. And I pray, my prayer for you is that you be a thermostat in your colleges as well, in your relationships as well. If there is somebody that you really are interested in, and I know we teens get interested in people, if you are interested in that person, think about it and think, am I being a thermometer and just reflecting, you know, am I having integrity here in this relationship? Does God really want me with this person? So I'd like to close. Let's close our eyes and just pray for these people that stood. Father in heaven, Lord, you know why each and every individual stood, Father, and I pray that it was not because so-and-so would think this and that. Father, just just be with us and help us be thermostats in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our families, Father. Because honestly, if we were thermostats in our families, a lot of our moms and dads would be here today, God, but we're not. And so we ask that you will please just be with us. Give us the power to always set the temperature. Carry our own weather. We're not going to reflect anybody else's weather on what anybody else thinks, Father. You be our weather. And Father, I ask that when Satan tempts us throughout this week, because you know he will, Father, and if he doesn't, there's something wrong. He should, Father. If he tempts us, I ask that you will just do what you do, Father. You have faith in us, Father, and you give us the strength to move forward and give us, like Elisha, Father, I ask that you will open up our eyes so that we may see and so that we may not fear. And the next time we feel alone in a situation where we're standing up for you, God, open our eyes and help us see those chariots of fire and those horses. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.